I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Ings?
Present.
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Is there any public participation? Item 3, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Ings?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli? Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under item 4, Board Business Committee reports. Technology and instruction. To say that, do you want to go first?
I was just going to mention, we haven't met yet, but we have our first meeting on the 22nd.
Okay, all right. But I guess in terms of curriculum, there is a lot going on, a lot of changes that have come down from the state. Now the state has a new requirement with respect to these seals that graduating seniors must obtain. So there's a whole different set of pathways, and this goes into effect for the class of 2020. So they're adding, and I'm just going to read off a few of them just so that everyone has an idea of what the state is now.
The true new ones are for the freshman class coming in.
This year's freshman class.
Okay.
But the other grades or the other years can also use this. The current class can use the pathway given to the freshman as well.
Okay.
So it's actually fully, it will be the only way that the freshman can graduate is based on that pathway.
Okay.
But the class of 2020 and 2021 can also use, in 2022, can also use those pathways as an alternate route. But once we get through this incoming freshman class, those are the requirements. Does
okay.
that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, it's a lot to keep track of. So they are required to earn 2 diploma seals, and one must be a state seal and one a local, or can be a local seal. So the state recognized seals are Ohio Means Job Readiness Seal, Industry Recognized Credential, College Ready, Military Enlistment, Citizenship, Science Honors Diploma, Seal of Biliteracy, which we already have, Technology Seal, and then the district, curriculum instruction, and Mr. Addis are working on, these are the local seals, which is community service, fine and performing arts, and student engagement. We spent a whole meeting just going through all of these and what the criteria is in order to meet or earn one of these seals. So we've looked at that. We've actually met twice since our last board meeting. The curriculum committee over the past year has met with every building, and they have talked about curriculum and changes and things that they need to do to keep their students on track and current and the things that they are facing. Is there anything else, Amy, that you feel that I should add? Last meeting, we went over our goals.
Yeah, at our last meeting, we talked about the committee goals, and we looked at how our specific curriculum instruction committee goals fell within the district strategic plan. So we wanted to make sure that if it was on our goals as our committee, that it fell under the district goals as well. So we had a good discussion about that, making sure that everything, you know, aligned within both areas. And then Mrs. Bennett asked specifically if we take a look at what was on our plan and where we are now. What have we done within our buildings to look at some of those things that were on our plan? And within each of our buildings, we probably had anywhere from 10 to 12 items that were things that we had talked about that are actually happening now or that have happened as a result of some of the committee's suggestions. You know, we've added some new courses to the high school. We brought back some previous courses. There's been a course of study that's been written for our CBI class. We're going to be bringing back freshman 101, but we're actually going to be calling it career exploration because we've been talking a lot about the college and career pathway. That's going to be a required course for our sophomores. They're working on that. We've been looking at our standards as far as ELA, English Language Arts, through the grade levels. Last year, we did some mapping and some assessment, common assessment writing in the K-8 realm. This year, we're moving into the high school realm to look at the standards and the mapping. The assessment will be to follow. We're moving ahead with some math professional development that the county is coming in to do with the new released science and social studies standards. Our teachers are being really aware of those. They're looking at, you know, changes, alignments. They're also looking at some depth of knowledge. We've had some really great things happening at our middle school as well. We've been looking at rubrics for the accelerated classes, and those are available on our website. Our gifted professional development continues to happen in all of our buildings. We are looking at, and Joyce would tell you if she were here, about the Brain Zones program that they're bringing in for our social-emotional component at the middle school. She also has brought in what they call a Tom Todd Tomorrow Today program. They're piloting it with our sixth grade students. Norton Elementary has redesigned their master schedule in looking at maximizing their time spent with kids and teaching. They're also following in the pathway of the social-emotional learning. We had a grant that Mr. Sackett had written at the end of last year, which he obtained. They're looking at school climate, and they're also continuing to support the social-emotional needs of their students. Their guidance department, school counselor, has gotten on board with that, and they're creating classroom lessons. They're doing checklists to monitor the students. At Mr. Morris's building, if you haven't had a chance to go in and see it, it's really kind of cool. They have, I forget what you called it, their path. What was that called?
Sensory.
Their sensory path. And it's in front of the gymnasium, and it's actually on the floor, and they have different activities and things for the kids to do. They've painted ceiling tiles throughout the building, just doing some really great things. They're doing a book study together. And his preschool is going through their Step Up to Quality program. There's just a lot of things going on. It's just, you know, all of you don't realize just how much is going on until you sit down and you meet and you talk about it and you're like, oh, okay, check that off, check that off, check that off. So we've got a lot of things going on.
Can you explain why the ceiling tiles were painted? I thought that was pretty cool.
I'll let Mr. Morris do that.
Which ones are you talking about? The ones in the
hallway?
Those were, I don't want to say 9 weeks, but they would study, like, an artist for a period of time. And then each class then would do their interpretation of that artist's work, and then we would paint it and it would go up on the ceiling. So it's just it's a cool thing because it's very rare that you get to say to a kid, we're going to take this down out of the ceiling, you're going to get the paint on it, and then we're going to put it back up there. Because, you know, we never allow them to write on the walls or anything like that, but, you know, this is your chance to leave your mark, you know, in our building. So.
Well, I think it also can be kind of joined with when we went to hear Rudy Payne speak, talking about looking up. And one of the ways to kind of regulate an emotional child or to help to de-escalate a situation is to have them look up. There's something in your brain, in your frontal lobe, that when you look up, those feelings of anger and frustration tend to go away a little bit because she says you can't look up and be angry. So I'm like, okay. But then we went about it, and he started putting things up on the ceilings, and he really noticed a difference when the kids are going to wherever they're going. Up, let's look up and find this, and just another means of working with our social-emotional needs for our kids.
Thank you. Right.
Since we're on curriculum, can I just talk about
yes.
two other quick things?
Yes.
So the prepared for success category is the most failed in the state on the state report card. 85% of Ohio schools got a D or an F. But I did find out one of the new components for next year is the ASVAB test, which is what we administer this Wednesday at our high school. So the kids who have taken that test in the past, you know, that test never qualified them as being, you know, prepared for the military, and there's an established score. So that's brand new. So, you know, Ohio, I guess, is trying to look at some of the components to how we can improve that. And it's sort of related because it's a report card issue. We did not meet the the attendant, the chronic absentee indicator in three of our four school buildings last year, and the percentage is going down next year. But what we just discovered in the middle of October, even though we begin school in the middle of August, is students who are out of school due to medical reasons will no longer be counted as part of their chronic absenteeism, as long as that family brings in a note from a doctor. So if there's an emergency dentist trip that a child has to attend, they bring a note back. The student is still out of school, but they're not part, that doesn't count towards the chronic absenteeism. You know, so I think the state probably had situations where kids were out with the chicken pox and schools were getting dinged for it, and it made no sense whatsoever. So it looks like in that area, common sense prevailed. So hopefully we'll see some better numbers just with that alone in our state.
Plus, we're meeting with those families that had issues with attendance and have issues now with attendance to
yes.
explain the importance of why your child should be in school. So the other, the Prepared for Success,
yeah.
we're also working and looking at that mm-hmm. to see how we can improve that grade.
Yes.
Is there anything that you want to elaborate on that?
Because you know, this year, I know Ryan's building offered an ACT crash course. You know, traditionally that either comes through a school district or a family becomes purposeful and goes out and finds it on their own. They're all over the place. Which we're offering again in January. Part of the mega testing day is PSAT. So we have some juniors who are taking the PSAT, which leads to growth in our AP program. So all of the areas, there's one area in there that we can't touch, and that's the IB program, the baccalaureate program. We don't have it. 68 schools in the state of Ohio have it, yet it counts on the Prepared for Success. So unless we want to create an IB program, we're not going to get any points for it.
Right.
But there are very few local schools that even have it. So,
right. And our AP, I mean, I know that we are sending those AP teachers for additional training
yeah.
to help them with that. But part of this category, to me, I think it's a little frustrating because some kids just don't test well.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, a school district is dinged for that. I mean, you can be prepared and, you know, practice does tend to show that that improves scores, but some kids just aren't.
It's not aptly named. If they ask me, that's not the name I would give it. You know, that if you don't meet this category, it doesn't mean you're not prepared for success. It's based on established ACT scores, which are, you know, for college preparedness and readiness. So it's really based on that, but it doesn't mean that a student's not going to go out and be prepared for a successful life. And
right.
I think that's what the community reads, is that this particular high school is not preparing its students to be successful. So we understand it. I think it pushes us a little bit. It pushes our kids, which is always healthy. But you know, we're fighting back as much as we can on it.
Good.
And you mentioned it, but Ryan and his AP teachers are attending sessions during the year,
right.
This year, just to connect with other AP teachers for, pedagogical purposes and rationale and other game planning.
Good. Thank you. Mrs. Oliveri, is there anything else that you wanted to mention?
I don't think so.
All right. Operations.
Yes, so we met last week or the week
Thursday.
Thursday. One of the things with the operations, I think it's important to state our kind of vision. That way it's not misconstrued with other things and kind of keeps the community what our main focus is. The Operations Committee of the Norton City Schools will support the physical and building needs of day-to-day operations in the district, prioritize short and long-term needs, educate the district and public on campus projects, and work with through the financial ability of the district. With that being said, you know, I know through past meetings we've mentioned a lot, the operations group continues because we do have some older buildings to work on projects and get things completed. One of the things at our last meeting that we had is we introduced the parent group, our elementary parent group, to the meeting. So hopefully they'll be able to attend moving forward. We thought it would be good just because not only are they representatives from a large group of our parents, but our parent group has done a lot for the schools as far as donations. You know, they bought a lot of smart boards in the past, and a couple of the projects that they have in mind that they mentioned to us in the meeting was the primary playground and the elementary playground. As far as maybe remulching or putting new rubber down at the primary, mm-hmm. and then potentially more equipment once we figure out what we're doing with the elementary playground, as far as parking and things of that nature. So it was great to have them. Can't be more thankful for that group.
That's great.
So they were great. One of the things that you know, I've gotten asked about quite a bit over the past 4 or 5 months, and it's kind of weaned down a little bit, was our campus lawn. And I think it's something that we've taken the approach to take care of our lawn as far as the weeds and things. You know, being staffed how we are, it's tough to do it with the folks that we have. So we got a great price from a local maintenance facility, lawn care facility, and they've been taking care of the lawn and taking out the weeds. We had a kind of a backup at the baseball field, and it caused some damage to the field. So our insurance covered the repair of that. Looks great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been reseeded. Grass is growing. Matter of fact, I think they mowed it.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. So that'll be good for next spring. A couple of the other items that we've completed is the cement pad at the field house for the entrance into the garage door, the cement barrier at the middle school, which is out front, which our masonry group did. And that was not only a kind of, it's an aesthetic, but it's also a safety feature to keep anybody from busting through the windows there. Well, I guess the concrete posts and pillars, I'm sorry, the cement barrier was another item. The front doors at NES not fully closing. We finished that. Interior at the middle school, interior roof, we kind of took care of with a priority as the exterior, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let Dana talk a little bit about the exterior roof of the gym. And we ordered 3 buses, another one on the way. And I wanted to bring up, we're also, Cindy brought to our attention as far as Chromebooks, middle school age group, right, Cindy?
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. But the rest of the
but
kids,
the rest,
yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking at, you know, some, fortunately through the grant process, we've earned some Chromebook carts over the years. And unfortunately, we don't have one-to-one, but we looked at the idea of what would it cost at that age level to get more and obtain, you know, Chromebooks for the whole class or every classroom. It's quite hefty price tag. So we're going to continue to focus on that. But alternately, we're going to look at ways that we may be able to get multiple use out of what we have. And it's primarily for testing of kids because, you know, they're taking tests and not having the ability to use the Chromebooks that we have currently. So we need to figure that out.
I have a quick question. We've talked about one-on-one mm-hmm. technology before, and it was kind of the impression that maybe we didn't need one-to-one, or let's get as close to it as possible. Is that
there's just
changed?
There's a lot to consider when a district would commit to one-to-one. It has to commit way beyond just putting computer in every student's hands. You know, we have 2 people as part of our technology team. So when you're adding that many Chromebooks to your school district, when you're talking about maintenance, upkeep, unless we don't want Angie to ever go home, eat, or have a family, you have to talk about additional people there. Perhaps even more important, although not as important as you, Angie, is professional development for the school district in the implementation of one-to-one. For how you use this technology to benefit your kids. Not to say that we would do this, but there are dangerous examples of the infusion of technology where everyone was happy that they became a one-to-one district, and so they just handed out Chromebooks. And there's a little preparation for teachers about how to implement this, how does it impact the teaching. The kids don't necessarily know this is exactly what I'm supposed to do with it, so they may be all over the place. There's just a lot to consider before a district would go there. So
where are we, I guess, in terms of where do we need to be? Or how many more do we need, I guess? Are we on some sort of program?
I didn't bring any of that material.
I didn't either.
I do have it all mapped out of what it would take to get us, how many we would need. We're basically looking at one cart per classroom, which essentially is one-to-one. Also, Dana had me look at including available labs. So if you didn't have a cart in the room, was there a lab available for that class? So I can tell you right now off the top of my head, I know we're up to 1,300 Chromebooks in the district. That doesn't include any laptops or desktops that we have. The other thing you have to consider is once you buy them, it's not like you have them forever, especially for testing. So, you know, they have to have a certain operating system in order to be used even for testing. So, you know, Stephanie and I looked a little bit deeper at how much you'd have to continue to put out to continue replacing what you have. And that's if nothing is broken or, you know, anything like that. So, and if we're going to do one-to-one, in what I've gathered from the Tech Advisory Committee and talking to some of the teachers in the district, they like one-to-one where it doesn't go home. It's one-to-one where it's in the classroom, they have it there to use with the kids. But, you know, that would also help preserve some of the light, but you still need a cart to charge them in. So, as I mentioned, I didn't know we were going to have the conversation. I didn't bring any of that, but, you know, there's a lot to think about. And again, and I'm not trying to say poor us or anything, but, you know, there are only two of us and five kids, and we don't just have the 1,300 Chromebooks. You know, it might be good sometime to share with you how many devices we have, how many servers we update, cameras. I mean, if you think about it, you know, the point of sale registers, we've got the mail machine, you know, everything that we use in this district every day is something that typically people will turn and look to us and say, you know, can you help us with this? So, you know, we've got textbooks online, we've got, I mean, I could go on and on. So, you know, even if we did that, we wouldn't want to do that and then not be able to support it or help.
Right.
So we, you know, we have to look at that from...
We were more concerned that the kids that are going to be doing testing, you know, in the certain subjects that they take, that they have no experience on these things, and then they're, you know, I don't know if they do or not, but we were just discussing it. Then they're going to take the test, and they don't know how to use it, and that puts us at a disadvantage. Our kids aren't going to do as well on testing. So we were talking more along that line, not going full one-to-one. We were just, we were talking about that.
So not to put any teachers on the spot, but do you feel as if in your building there are rare opportunities to get to devices, or do you feel as if you have an ample amount for kids to get experience heading into testing? You're saying no?
I co-teach a sophomore in junior language arts class, and those two particular teachers do not have carts in their room, so it's whenever we can sign one out.
But you can sign them, and you can go to the lab, too.
Yeah, we just have to schedule.
Okay.
How often are they available?
There's been maybe 6 out of 10 times I can get it when I want it. And if not, I just switch it to another day and just adjust the lessons for that week.
I'm one of the only math teachers at the middle school without a cart. The labs are pretty accessible, but it's not always the most convenient lab. You know, you spend 10 minutes of your class time getting there, getting settled in, getting logged on. And some of it's hard because some of our periods are split. So if I go to the lab, my kids go for 40 minutes, have to sign off so another class can come in during our break and then go back and log on. So there's a lot of time lost where if it were in the classroom, they could just stay where they were. You know, there have been opportunities available to us. You know, sometimes just get busy and don't do it. But I think a lot of us have turned our testing and our assessments to online more than we probably thought we were going to. So there's not a lot of paper assessments anymore. So when, you know, three math classes in one grade are taking an assessment on the computer at the same time, it does kind of limit where you can go, and you know, we have specials that need to get into the labs to do their curriculum, so I mean, we're pretty flexible with each other. It's not always ideal, but we make it work when we have to.
With that many devices operating at one time, are we having Wi-Fi problems in any of the buildings?
Yeah, I mean, have you guys?
We, I, you know, even right now, they're in the middle of those E-rate upgrades, remember? That, you know, money that we get back from reimbursement. Tonight, actually, they're finishing up replacing all the APs, the wireless access points in this building. So, no, we've been pretty good about, you know, making sure our switches are up to date, replacing, you know, all that stuff. This is the last year to kind of do that, as far as we understood from them up to this point. So, no. Of course, the more you add, the more you test that. But so far, no.
Here are the numbers. I'm sorry, Jennifer.
That's
so
okay.
Chris had this sheet. So Angie put together like total carts needed to fulfill the entire district would cost $506,000. So if we put it as part of a five-year plan, that's $109,000 a year.
And can I also, you know, we mentioned the professional development is one piece. So there's the sub conversation and then also someone to instruct or what have you. I just lost my train of thought. Sorry, I can't remember what I was going to say. There was something else about the number of carts and getting them in. Yes, thank you. The other part, she said setting them up and the licenses. That cost is not paying for what's called white glove. I think I wrote white glove on there. So white glove is enrolling all of those devices into our admin console and adding the Wi-Fi. So when they arrive, and we have the kids all trained to do this, but wiring cards and setting all those Chromebooks up. So some districts pay to have that done. You might pay up to $10 per device to have that done additionally. Inventory, you know, tagging everything and putting them in inventory so we have that for insurance purposes. So thank you.
If you recall, Angie, when was the last time that we purchased a Chrome cart?
Well, we just did.
Okay.
Over the summer, there were several. Middle school did get one through building funds, and then we did five or six for the district for the grants that we just did.
Okay.
252.
But like the district itself, not a grant.
What we decided to do was with the PI dollars that were available whenever they were, and there were, this was last year and the year before, the Tech Advisory Committee had decided that when funds came available to buy those, how would we determine where they went? And the decision was that teachers would write a grant for those. So because they felt like if a teacher really wanted to use them in their classroom, they should say how they're going to use them. This is what I think would benefit my kids and how to use them. So it was a grant, an in-district grant. It wasn't a grant that we applied for from GAR or someone, an outside entity like that. I mean, we have done that in the past, and the middle school has done several. That is a possibility. It's just they're not very often, and sometimes they don't even do it for technology. So, and we always look at those and keep an eye out for them. I always offer, I know Amy's offered too, for different grants to help teachers, you know, work with them on writing them. I think, again, it becomes a time, you know, issue at times for them to write those. But yeah, I mean, those are also possibilities.
Okay, I guess, and maybe we're already doing it, but I guess I'm just thinking that maybe we are on a plan to buy X amount of carts.
We aren't unless we decide that
each
we're going
year.
To decide more money than we currently are.
We budget right now $150,000 for technology. So when she needs switches and servers,
phones,
both S words, those kind of things come out of that. And then when she has extra money left over out of that $150,000, then that's where she's been buying the carts and doing some of the extra stuff. So some of our discussions jump into finance and operations was, are we going to start setting more money aside in PI now?
That's
every
what we were talking. That was kind of the
for replacement
topic.
And addition.
Yeah, because the $150 also includes any replacing that we need to do. So after every 5 or 6 years, you know, if a lab needs replaced, that comes out of the $150. So whatever's left is what we use to purchase additional.
And that doesn't count any of the smart boards or what do we
yeah,
call them
the
now, interactive whiteboard, any of those.
To.
That's an additional. right now, we've been able to take one or two here and there out of that, out of $150,000, but that's more of our discussion is, how much more do we want to set aside out of PI? Because we only have $650,000 a year from PI, and when we're buying buses, and we're looking at roofs, and we're looking at technology purchases, the 650 doesn't go as far as it used to. So trying to prioritize.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just thinking that we need to get to where we need to be in terms of technology, and if that's setting aside a little bit more than what we normally do.
That was the plan. We needed to get numbers.
Because if we're moving from paper and pencil to online, we're putting our kids at a disadvantage. If they're doing all paper and pencil and then they get to a test where, oh, you've got to do it online. You know, I mean, it's very few, but there's some kids that don't even have computers at home. So, you know, it's not very many, but this is, you know, this is obviously an educational thing to get
and
them.
It would be overwhelming for those kids.
Yes, but, you know, we want to give them, you know, best preparation.
At what point, how many more devices can you support before we need to add staff? Because it's something we have to
discuss. That's a loaded question.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's a loaded question. It is, but realistically.
Well, I can tell you right now that it is very hard for me to take on something new because we're trying to just keep everything up and running. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, adding the five kids, that really helped. You know, they can take some smaller tickets. But, like, even, you know, I go out and solve tickets. It's not like John's the only one that does tickets. And by that I mean, you know, my browser's not working. Yeah, I mean, it could be anything. I need software installed. So, I mean, I think we've been pretty successful so far, but I'd hate to get to a point where, you know, we wheel a cart in and somebody's got to wait 3 days before somebody can come fix something for them.
Right.
And so the only thing that I mapped out on that dollar, you know, example of how long would it take to get there, that was just to purchase the stuff and with us getting everything ready. It has no professional development in it, and it's assuming that we can absorb all of that work additional and keep things running. So,
I have one last.
You were asking about the grant.
Yeah.
Myself, Kara Colazar, and Kristen Real, we applied for a grant at the high school. It was written to support our Algebra 1 students based on Desmos, which is integrated into the end of course exam. Unfortunately, we didn't get the grant. So I believe in the math wing. It's only Mr. Rao who has the Chrome part, but all of the high school math teachers are sharing. And we were obviously disappointed that we didn't get the grant, but none of the high school teachers got the grants. So that was even more disappointing. It seemed like the majority of the grants or the Chrome parts went to the elementary schools. Is that correct?
Yes.
So maybe can we look at evenly spreading that money out?
We could, but we might want to look at too if how many from each building submitted. I'm not certain that they all did. I could be wrong, but honestly, I take it from whatever that tech advisory committee brings to me, and we discuss those things.
Because we have so much money.
There's a lot of factors too, like the specialist classes that you never thought about, like the program Chuck Fowler's doing with the fifth grade art class is all digital right now. So he needs a lab for two classes every single day to do his curriculum with them, which, you know, is a great opportunity for those kids, but that is a resource that he has to have available. You know, he has the lab signed out all year during that time so those kids can do that program.
Mrs. Hooper, I'm just curious, how many math teachers are sharing that one cart at the high school?
Let me count real quick.
We have six.
Six math teachers, I believe, and then myself as an intervention specialist, so seven.
Okay.
But also two labs of how many computers in each lab?
30.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just have one quick question, and then it's all good discussion. As far as Chromebook, and I brought this up in the operations meeting, you know, moving from smart boards to the touch, clever touch, how much longer do we think it's going to be Chromebook? I mean, that's the other question.
That is a good question. And we went through that many, many years ago with netbooks. And I typically don't jump on the bandwagon. I wait a while and other districts go first before purchasing something like that. And I can't predict it. I mean,
there's nothing that you know of at this point that's replacing Chromebook?
No. The only thing that I've seen is Chromebooks get to a point where they will no longer auto-update the operating system. And I've read that you can manually go in and update it. It won't auto, but of course that means we have to go around and hand touch what the teachers would. And the reason I say that is that's how the state is letting us know when the Chromebook is end of life and you can't use it for testing anymore. Okay. So that's the other thing that kind of starts catching up with us too. Like next year, I think, either next year or the year after, we'll have the first set of Chromebooks that we purchased won't auto-update anymore. And so then it becomes, are they okay for testing any longer? So.
Do we get trade-in value? Do you know? I mean, since we haven't really done it.
I haven't had to, but we have replaced parts. So okay. We have the kids, you know, doing some screens and batteries, and we do keyboards here and there. So we have started doing some of that.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate on the or
like
we've
talked about roofs enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's been our priority as far as the PI stuff goes was getting the idea on the roofs and what needed to be done. So we were doing roofs, we were doing buses, and I think technology is definitely high on the priority list, but we were going with those big items before
we needed to get the rain out of the rooms before we brought in more.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Before appropriating more money for that.
Okay, finance.
We kind of hijacked that.
Yeah, part of that was in here. We had our meeting, and I'm just going to go through these things quickly because we're running out of time. For the fiscal year 19, which was back in June, we ended up with a balance of $77,000. But there was a large check we were getting from another district that didn't come in until after July 1st. So that number's a little bit low. I don't know how much.
150,000.
Okay, so it's 150,000 low. So we really are not, like, you know, swimming in cash here. We did receive the second quarter payment of our income tax, and the estimates seemed to be in line with what they had told us we were going to get. Overall, our federal adjusted gross income has increased by 3%, which is good news because that the number that they gave us has increased by 3%, so that means we get 3% more than what they had told us we were going to get. We reviewed the summer projects, which were the roofs, and in the next couple of years, hopefully, we will have replaced everything. Roofs, since the day I got on the board, have been just like a money pit. But now we're going to have, a lot of our roofs are going to have 15 or 30-year guarantees. So hopefully in the next couple of years, we're going to be done with roofs for a while.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about them.
Yeah, sorry, but I had to. We looked at future projects. You know, lockers at the middle school, they need curtains, new curtains in their rooms. Just there's, you know, with some older buildings, there's just always something to replace or do. The Ohio checkbook, it will be up and running in November. And then we're going to update it every quarter. Stephanie's going to update it every quarter. And we reviewed all the district funds and where the money comes from and the restrictions on it. You know, there's certain money coming in, like, we have some money coming in now that can only be used for certain things, so we have to be careful about that kind of thing. And we talked about the bus garage. We have an agreement with Barberton where we work on their buses, but they're building a brand new state-of-the-art, I guess, bus garage. So that all is in. We don't know what we're going to be doing. Obviously, we're not going to be maintaining their buses, but just what's going on with the bus garage, our physical bus garage building is not in great shape, so we've talked about that for a couple years, so we've talked about it some more. So we just haven't decided, or we aren't far enough into the process to figure out what we're going to do with that. So that's it.
Okay. Policy.
Policy, we just had a large update come through this week, so we coordinated a meeting for next week?
The 23rd, yes.
23rd, yes. Remember that, so.
I know Ms. Kolecki wants to be a part of that.
Yes, we're doing that in the morning, or Stephanie's going to reach out to her or send the email to make sure.
All right, community engagement.
We've had two meetings since our last committee of the whole. Both meetings, we talked about a lot of the same stuff. The first one, we talked about the differences made in open houses from each building and how successful they seem to have been and how much positive feedback we've received from them. One of the main comments was they were so glad that we finally started putting them on different evenings or at different times, so the parents of multiple children in different schools can actually start attending. So that was a major plus. At the last meeting, we discussed Norton Community Day 2020. We were trying really hard to put something together for a community day. For those of you who have been around for a while, we did something similar to this in the early thousands called Kaleidoscope, and it was an art fair, and it had visual performing arts all over this campus when we actually had more buildings here. But we have, Chuck Kaufman was there, and he was speaking on behalf of a number of the art teachers and drama forensics people, and it seems that we're going to just put it into their lap and say, run with it, see what you can come up with, and hopefully we'll have some kind of festival. It'll probably be in the 2020-2021 school year, and hopefully a big event at the high school campus sometime in the winter. So there more information will be coming on that. The new residents welcome. I went out 2 months in a row and went door to door to different residents, new residents. I got information from the county finance department about home sales and transfers. And I went door to door, and that took a really long time. And some people didn't want to see this strange face coming to their door on a Saturday morning. So we decided that we were going to develop and send postcards. We're asking for volunteers to send them. Mr. Ryan Sheener said that he has groups at the high school who are just looking to do projects like this. I think some of the members of the committee are willing to do that. So we're gonna actually welcome new residents, basically one-to-one. The banner update, all the banners are still not up. I found out the other day, driving through the campus, that we do have a scissor lift that will work outside as long as we keep it on pavement. As soon as it goes off pavement, it shuts down, and whoever's up on the bucket is kind of up there forever. So that said, we do have a scissor lift, and I'm going to try just going out with some volunteers and put a few up each night, beginning not this week, but hopefully next week. So I'm still asking for volunteers to help with that project. We're trying to get our students involved in the Norton cleanup. It's a great opportunity for us to get our kids out there and let some other community members and other members of this area know how great our students are. We've had great success with different organizations reporting back on how well our kids are doing with the ambassador, seniors are doing with the ambassador program. If we can actually get middle school and high school students out on Norton Cleanup Day, that would speak volumes, as well as other things going on in the community. And we also had a brainstorm session about what we can do to improve our brand in our community. And our brand right now, I mean, we have several brands, but the one we're really pushing this year is We Roar Together. And Mr. Addis said, I think we're doing all right getting our message out there, because I go to the grocery store and I see a lot of people in We Roar Together t-shirts. He said, if you ask most people in this community what is our message this year, they know it. All the students know it. They know what we're pushing this year. And it's not just a saying. It's a sense of like, getting people involved in taking care of each other and doing things together. So our message is getting out there. We're still looking for opportunities to promote that.
Thank you, Pat.
Yep.
Under item 5, superintendent's recommendations?
None at this time.
Okay. Item 6, executive session. Can I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss pending legal action?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes, motion carries 5-0. For those of you who just came in, I'm sorry, but we are going to have a short executive session, and then we'll start our regular board meeting at 7. Thank you. We're now out of executive session. At this time, can I motion to adjourn the committee of the whole meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We are now adjourned. Thank you.